You're listening to KX93.5 FM.
FM. 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's time for the Friendship Show.
Friendship Show.
With your hosts, Dawn Price, Mark Miller, and Scott Hayes. The Friendship Show.
Friendship Show.
Friendship Show.
You're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's only FM radio station. I'm Scott Hayes, and this is the Friendship Show. We've got something interesting going on this morning, but let me first introduce co-host Dawn Price. Dawn, good morning.
Are you implying that I'm not interesting?
No. Did it come across that way?
We have something interesting going on, but before we do that...
Oh, okay, go.
I'm just teasing. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning. And do we want to talk at all about the 25th gala coming up?
We do, yeah. A week from last night, can't believe we're in the final stretch, Friendship Shelter's great gala, the 25th anniversary celebration for Friendship Shelter at the Ritz-Carlton, starts at 6 p.m., I believe. Officially, the RSVP date was Thursday. If you called us right away on Monday, we could probably squeeze you in. Mm-hmm. So call the shelter, 949-494-6928, if you want to come out and have a great time, Gatsby-esque event.
Yeah, that sounds fun and exciting. And, of course, Mark Miller will be there as well. Yes, Mark?
I believe I am still on the guest list.
And are you doing anything like important at that particular night? Do you have responsibilities?
Wow, that's a good question.
Yes, he does.
I have no idea, to tell you the truth. Uh-huh.
He's introducing the special video presentation that you and Scott...
Might still be open.
No. That decision's been made.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Much higher up than you.
Oh, awesome. Decision. Yeah, well, it's not hard to get higher up than me.
Well, we should... we did work pretty hard on this special video project of ours, yes? Wouldn't you say?
We did. It was a lot more work than I thought it was going to be, actually.
Right.
What is it? It comes in at 7 minutes?
It comes in just... Well, we were under the obligation to come in under 7 minutes, so we did, yeah. Everything included 7 minutes.
Right, and it took 3 months to get that.
And we had some creative differences. Is that true?
I'm not sure how to answer that. Did we have creative differences? Yeah, probably. I mean, there were a couple of times I had to set you straight.
Uh-huh. That's how it works. I got it. All right. Fair enough. Also, we got Megan Jamerson in the studio. Good morning, Megan.
Good morning.
Hey, Megan, you had your debut last week, did you not?
I guess I did, yes.
And I was listening from Georgia, and I just thought you did a great job in keeping everyone on schedule and on point and all that good stuff.
Well, thank you.
It was a great show.
Yeah, it was a great show.
Yeah, very well.
You have a very pleasant radio voice.
Oh, well.
Yeah. I think you do.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Had a great time.
Cool. All right, listen, in the studio today, we've got a couple of paranormal investigators, Bob Davis and Brian Clune, if I got the pronunciations correct, who are here, who are going to talk about a little bit about their investigations. We figured it's Halloween, and they've got some compelling stories, ghost stories or extra, what would you call it, guys? If not ghost stories, what would you
paranormal
call it?
Paranormal
stories. Paranormal activity stories they're going to share with us. We'll start with a musical break, Megan. We'll come back and we'll take it from there.
An old cowpoke went riding out one dark and windy day. Upon a ridge he rested as he went along his way. When all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw a-plowing through the ragged skies and up a cloudy draw. On fire and their hooves were made of steel. Their horns were black and shiny and their hot breath he could feel. A bolt of fear went through him as they thundered through the sky, for he saw the riders coming hard and he heard their mournful cry. I am Yippee-yi.
gaunt, their eyes were blurred, their shirts all soaked with sweat. They're riding hard to catch that herd, but they ain't caught 'em yet. For they gotta ride forever on that range up in the sky, on horses snorting fire. As they ride on, hear their cry. Him, he heard one call his name. If you want to save your soul from hell, a riding on our range, then cowboy, change your ways today, or with us you will ride, a trying to catch the devil's herd across these endless skies. I am.
Well, you're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. I'm Scott Hayes. This is The Friendship Show. Megan, what was that song, by the way?
That was Ghost Riders in the Sky by the Sons of the Pioneers. A classic.
Very nice. Very nice. Is your mic on, by the way?
It is.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. And then Mark Miller, you have an announcement to make concerning next weekend.
Well, of course, there's the Friendship Gala on Friday, November 1st, but there are still a few tickets available for the Festival of Music November 2nd to support KX93.5 FM. Matt Costa, Colin Hay, and that Ritter Girl is going to be there, plus Trapdoor Social. Tickets at KX93.5.com. It's going to be a great night.
Yeah, I mean, I was listening to the station coming in that it's the first time they've had a music festival there in 10 years, I guess.
They have never really allowed that to happen there. So it's a huge coup for the radio station to get that done.
Well, kudos. Okay. Hey, we're back to our that's a hard word for me to say, paranormal investigators, Bob Davis and Brian Clune. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
How
are
you doing?
Thanks for having us.
Hey, great. Hey, let's talk a little bit about just how you got involved in this. I don't know what you want to call it. Passion, activity, work.
Quest.
What?
Quest.
Quest, yeah. I mean, did you have an experience and that's what sort of turned you on to it all?
Yeah, absolutely.
Bob talking, by the way.
Yeah, right. I'm sorry.
No, that's my fault.
Yeah. What happened was when I was young, I used to be really pretty much a non-believer. I didn't believe in anything spiritual at all.
Right.
And then I was on a day trip to Alcatraz with my family, and we went down to D Block, which is maximum security, or solitary confinement. And so the park ranger that was giving the tour asked, does anybody, want to volunteer to go in there and see what it was like for the prisoners? And, I didn't have any thought of ghosts, or I didn't even know the place was supposed to be haunted. So right. I raised my hand and I'm like, yeah, I'll go in. So they put you in there, and it's like two doors. And so when they close the inner door and the outer door, it's just pitch black and it's just a big metal box. There's no bed, no toilet, nothing in there at all. And so I'm standing there and he kind of yells in, are you all right? And I said, sure, I'm fine. And, and then about as soon as I said that, I feel something grab me on the shoulder really hard, like a firm, just like if a human had grabbed me.
Right.
And he goes, you're mine, like that in my ear.
That's what you heard?
That's what I heard, yeah, audibly.
There was nobody else in the room?
No, not at all. And like I said, it's just a big metal box inside of a concrete box.
Right.
So, yeah, and I mean, there's just no way that, you could feel the hair on your ear vibrate, just like if somebody leaned over and said it to you.
Well, I mean, how old were you?
I was 13, and so I started screaming and banging on the door to let me out.
Yeah.
And the warden or the ranger opens the door, and he's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I just don't like it in there. So I didn't tell anybody about that for years after that.
Uh-huh.
And so that started me on my quest after that, because on the way back, I found a book at a bookstore that was on you know, Ghosts of California and started right. reading it, and I get to the Alcatraz section. It says cell 14D, which was the cell I was in, is the most haunted cell in Alcatraz.
Wow.
So it's like I had no way of knowing that, so I was like, okay, something's weird. So and I always, you know, said, okay, if there's a God or if there's anything spiritual, then if I see something, then I'll believe. So okay. ever since I've believed, and I've okay. been.
And then, Brian, do you have a similar type of story that sort of turned you on to this whole paranormal activity research?
Area? Not even close.
Okay.
I blame my son for this.
Oh, okay. How'd that come about?
My son and I kind of started to grow apart. When he turned 18, he aged out of the Boy Scouts. Right. I still had my other son in the Boy Scouts, and I was trying to find a way to reconnect with him.
Right.
So I just went up to him and said, hey, is there something we can do together that, you know, we'd both enjoy and, you know, have a little fun with?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
and he looks over at me and goes, well, how about ghost hunting? And I was just kind of like, excuse me, what the heck are you talking about?
Right.
He's like, well, come on, we used to watch these shows and we always said that we could do it. And, you know, that it'd be a lot of fun. And these other people that we're watching are stupid and
right.
all of this stuff like that. So I was kind of like, all right, well, fine. If that's what you want to do, then I'll see if I can find, you know, some way to do it.
Uh-huh.
So I went on the internet, did a search, and found this guy.
Right.
Which...
he's all over the internet.
God help me.
Yeah.
You know, so we met, we got together, and I don't know what happened.
Right.
My son apparently was a little bit more scared than he wanted to let on. He stopped doing it.
Oh.
I was having so much fun that I was like, you know what? I don't care if I'm finding ghosts or not. I'm having a ball.
But you have found activity. You have found ghosts. You have heard voices. These are the things we're going to get into, right?
What was your first experience when you were like, oh, yeah, this is for real?
Well, I'd been with the team for what, maybe eight months,
quite a while, yeah.
Something like that. And, I mean, we'd been to a bunch of different places and just nothing.
And what would you say when we were at every location?
You have
we
to
ever
bring that
to?
Up, huh?
Yeah.
What would you say?
I'd after about 10, 15 minutes,
no
I'd be
profanity,
like...
No profanity, by the way.
Yeah.
I saw it coming.
I will try not to.
You're clairvoyant.
I'd walk around going, I feel nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys would just laugh and, you know.
Right.
So we were down at the Queen Mary,
okay.
and we were in the pool, the first class pool. And there really wasn't anything going on, and everybody was at the forward end of the pool, which is where the slide is, and they're trying to contact Jackie. I'm getting bored.
You know, Jackie is...
Oh, Jackie's a little 5-year-old ghost child that...
that resides on the...
That resides on the Queen Mary.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
She frequents the pool.
Okay.
So I decided that I was going to go back into the change room.
Right.
And I asked, you know, hey, do you guys want to go back there? And nobody wanted to go. And I'm like, okay, well, there's no ghosts. So,
right.
you know, at that time I was like, yeah, no problem. Now, to get back into the change room, you have to walk down an approximately 20-foot-long hallway that is maybe 3.5 feet wide, 4 feet tops.
Okay.
I get halfway through that hallway
mm-hmm.
and right in my ear to the point where my ear would actually vibrate, I just get this, yeah. And
wow.
I just kind of stop and I'm like, okay, what was that? And I turn around and I start to walk out. By the time I get out of the hallway, these guys are just cracking up. I mean, they're rolling on the floor because they heard it too.
Yeah, oh. And I don't know why, but we just stayed behind because we kind of, I don't know, I just had a feeling that Grumpy was another ghost that we start calling him Grumpy, was back in there, and I had a gut feeling, so I just kind of stood there, you know, resting on the side of the pool,
yeah.
and let him go wandering back in there,
yeah,
and you know, and as soon as you know, I heard that. I mean, it was loud and clear. We all heard it. We just started cracking up. Just Brian comes shooting out of there, walking as fast as he can.
Here's what I don't get, because I've never been in those experiences that you're talking uh-huh. about. But when that happens, if it had been me, I would be so freaked out by that I'm wondering if I'm going to have any sort of physical confrontation. Do you know going in there's no physicality, there's no harm that's going to come to you?
You know, I didn't know that when I was 13, and when that happened to me, I had no idea.
Right.
But you know, after doing it, you know, I'm 53 now, uh-huh. so it's like after doing it all those years, and we really have had no harm come to us.
Okay.
You know, I'm not saying it can't happen, you
right.
know, but we try to be respectful and not antagonize them. And sometimes on TV you'll see them, other teams antagonizing them to try to get them to respond. We don't believe in that.
Right.
So, you know, and the spirits on the Queen Mary we're real used to. So,
So we
chase them instead of run away from
them.
Well,
I personally believe that, you know, Bob keeps saying he doesn't know who Grumpy is. I think they're actually really good friends, and he has Grumpy go and purposely scare people because it seems like he, whenever Bob is with somebody who hasn't heard Grumpy before, Grumpy always seems to pipe up. All right, it's almost as if
they have something going there.
Friendship
yeah.
going on, maybe.
Exactly.
I'm never telling.
But there's been no breakage. There's been no pounding. There's been no pushes. There's been nothing of a physical nature. It's all been sort of what you've heard or seen.
You know, there has actually been, like, you know, through the course of my research,
uh-huh.
you know, there has been times where I've been touched again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do hear a lot of rapping sounds sometimes, depending on the location. Sometimes that's more frequent at one place than another.
Mm-hmm.
So, sometimes every once in a while you will see an object move.
Right.
It's very rare,
okay.
you know, but.
I haven't seen one move yet.
Right. And so who are they? Who's Grumpy and who's the, what was the child's name?
Jackie.
Who's Jackie? What's their backstory that brought them on the Queen Mary that they continue to reside there in the afterlife? And why are they there? Have you got any sort of sense of what's happening?
That's one of the really big mysteries of you know, all the spirits on the Queen Mary or any spirit in general is you know, you gather the evidence, you try to gather the evidence that you can get some historical data on, and that's where Brian comes in. Because he's, you know, I mean, just a top-notch historian.
Oh, okay, interesting.
But with the Queen Mary, and you might want to, you know, address this, is it's a little bit harder more to get some of the data because the ship was, you know, in international waters, you know, a lot. And so
the manifest, you're probably confusing and stuff, but do you have any sense of who Grumpy and, what was the name?
Jackie
are?
Jackie's a hard one. She's been heard by a lot of people, so we know she exists. There's a lot of evidence out there of her. No one knows for sure who she is.
Right.
The late Peter James is the first one to have found Jackie.
And Peter James is?
He was a renowned psychic.
Got you. Okay.
He actually had a show for quite a while called Sightings.
Okay.
That was
sure,
on
I remember
Fox
that.
Channel
yeah, yeah.
11.
Okay.
Yeah, so you may remember him. He was the guy with the white hair and the big black bushy mustache.
Right,
yeah, he's kind of like the godfather of the Queen Mary.
Gotcha,
I mean,
okay.
Without Peter, we wouldn't know half of what we know about the Queen Mary.
But no historical perspective on Jackie.
None whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I've traced it back through Ellis Island, and we can find no record of a Jacqueline Turin. And the name comes from Peter. We theorize that because of the war bride cruises, that a lot of children's names weren't actually marked down.
Mm.
So it's our belief, I mean, we're
yeah.
not saying that this is actually true.
No, I gotcha.
It's our belief that she was most likely one of the children of one of the war brides coming back from World War II.
Who died on the ship?
Who died on the ship.
Gotcha.
Peter states that she drowned in the second class swimming pool, which is no longer on the ship.
Gotcha.
And so now she kind of frequents the first class pool, although she's not relegated to just the pool. She wanders all over the ship.
Sure.
And then what about Grumpy? What's the historical perspective on Grumpy?
Grumpy is another odd one. It's he's a little bit more recent, and heard a little bit less frequently. But we're starting to kind of piece together. Usually he doesn't speak. Usually he growls, and. I do have a few clips of him where he actually, I believe it's the same being speaking. So we've had some speculation from all the researchers that, you know, we've done a big collaborative effort of a lot of research teams, you know, that go to the ship, and we all work together, try to pull our evidence together and try to get answers. And there is a little bit of evidence that it could have been an officer Stark that died on the ship.
How'd he die?
He died of poisoning. He accidentally, he thought he was pouring some gin, and it was actually
tetrahydrochloride.
And wow. He drank it, and he died several days later. Very slow and painful
death.
That's
very interesting. Who do you theorize are these paranormal activity experiences you come across? Are they people who are dead who haven't passed over somewhere else? Are they? What's your theory on who they are and what's going on there?
I think it's a variety of those things. I think it's people that used to enjoy the ship and, you know, maybe never even sailed on her and just come back to visit her. I think it's people that died on the ship and they just choose not to leave because they enjoy it there.
There's actually, excuse me.
Yeah.
There's actually a lot of people that have died on that ship.
Like 600?
Peter James, again, you know, he said that there were at least 600 spirits on the ship. But there were more than that that actually died on the ship, especially if you take into account her World War II service. Prisoners of war from both Italian and German armies died on the ship. They had Australian and New Zealand troops that were down below coming from Australia.
Did you mention she was a troop transport in World War II?
She being the child?
The Queen Mary was a troop transport.
It was actually used as a troop transport, and she was painted all gray
and
put into service.
But my question is, the spirits... Mm-hmm. What do you propose are the spirits? What's your theory on...
Well, excuse me. My theory would be that they're dead humans.
I see.
Which is...
So we all die, we become a spirit, do you think? I'm trying to...
Well...
I think in some form, you know, where we go, I don't think they all stay here.
Right.
I think, you know, a lot of them cross over and go to...
Wherever.
Wherever, right. Yeah.
Okay.
You know. But then I think, like in Jackie's case, she seems... We have a lot of recordings... of her actually calling for her mother and father, and so I think that she just is not going to leave until she finds her mother and father.
So here's, like, Jackie's one of the soundtracks we have here, Megan, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so let's kind of set this up a little bit here. You guys have forwarded to Megan these recordings on the Queen Mary of Jackie, the child, who allegedly died near one of the pools.
In the second class pool, which is
now the Royal Theater.
And what we're about to hear, is this the first cut, Megan?
Well, we can play the mommy one since we're just talking about that.
Okay.
Yeah. Does that work?
Okay. Yeah.
You want to set it up?
Yeah, if I could real quick. You'll hear a little bit of chattering between me and my daughter as we walk into the pool. My daughter's she talks real fast, so she'll sound like Minnie Mouse or something talking. That's not Jackie. But she's telling me, I've never really heard Jackie really loud and clear. And then you'll hear Jackie go, Mommy, like that. And then you hear my daughter go, or I go, there she is. And then you hear my daughter go, oh, like that.
Okay.
You know, so.
All right, Megan, let's give it a whirl and see how this comes across over the radio.
My hair's standing up bad. There she is. There she is. There she is.
That's it.
That was three times I'm pretty sure I heard Mommy. Did you hear that, Don?
Yeah, that was looped, right? That was the same Mommy.
So, I see. One time, Mommy looped three times.
Yeah, right. I looped all the recordings.
So gotcha. Okay, good.
Very clear.
Very clear. Yeah. So this is just her screaming in the background. Have you ever seen her? Have you ever kind of captured images of her?
I haven't captured images, but I think speaking for myself, I have seen little shadows.
Right.
And sometimes you can actually hear what sounds like little footsteps tromping around. It's like a two-level pool area, so there's like a balcony, and you can hear like tum 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 tum, tum 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 tum. Yeah.
And it almost seems like she likes to play, not necessarily hide and seek, but you'll catch a glimpse of her if you're on the lower part of the pool. You'll catch a glimpse of something up on the balcony.
Yeah,
but as soon as you look, you'll see something duck down, and then it'll appear like completely across the balcony.
Right.
So it's almost as if she's playing peekaboo with you.
Has she ever said other things besides Mommy?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And so what else has she said?
Well, that
she's kind of upset with Bob. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Why is that, Bob?
Well, it's
what'd
funny.
You do, Bob?
Yeah. You know. Well, is what happened is one night Brian and I went in there and. It was just me and him, And she started talking, and she was kind of really distant, you know, and a lot of times that's how you'll hear her. She'll be very distant. So I was trying to kind of coax her in to come closer. And the clips I sent you, the other two clips, are just little small snippets of a 17-long-minute exchange between this little girl, Brian, and I. And as what happened was, I couldn't get her to come closer, so I'm thinking, you know, a lot of kids call me Uncle Bob, so I'm thinking, what can I do to get her to come closer? So I said, you know, can you come closer? And she said no. And I said, come on, Jackie, come see your Uncle Bob. And then she yelled at me, no. Well, actually, that's the second clip. To back up just a second, I was thinking about the first, you know, before I'd said anything, I was thinking, what can I do to get her to come down? And I was thinking in my head without verbalizing it, maybe if I say, you know, come see your Uncle Bob. Well, she says, you're not my uncle. And that's the first clip.
We have that, Megan?
Yeah, would you like to hear that?
And okay. I had not verbalized anything, and she already answered it. So I find that very compelling.
Before we hear it, here's my question. It seems like a fair question. How do we know that what we're hearing, I mean, it's like one of those, you know, you've instilled the idea what you're hearing is this is what she's saying, and so now we're hearing it, right? But how do we know it's not the wind coming through a wall or some sort of creaking of the stairway, or how do we know that it's not that? What sort of...
Let me take this one.
All right, go for it. He's putting on the gloves, I can see.
During the exchange...
the one we're about to hear?
Correct.
Okay.
I was still... quite skeptical about all kinds of ghost activity. You know, I was still trying to figure out, okay, what is all this? So for most of that 17-minute conversation between Bob and Jackie, I was literally running around the pool trying to find where this little girl was hiding. I mean, literally, I went everywhere. And I even went outside and asked if there was a little girl that, you know, and this was like 9 o'clock at night. So, you know, they looked at me as if I was crazy.
Right.
Well, now, it was funny because the people that he asked were actually like a Bible group or something like that. Right. And they were sitting out there selling, Jesus videotapes.
Yeah, and they're not buying your stick, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm asking, have you seen a little girl in Saxon?
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, being in the center of the pool, there's no way any wind's going to be coming down or anything like that.
Right.
The only thing you can hear in the pool is basically your own breathing and, if you're walking around.
Okay.
So I convinced myself, all right, there's no little girl.
Gotcha.
In
and it's
pool.
Not the wind. It's not anything else. It is Jackie's voice that we're about to hear.
Well, when you hear it, you'll be able to tell that it's not wind.
Okay.
Yeah, it actually answers questions. You know,
excellent.
So.
Megan, let's make it work.
Okay, here we go.
Best I've ever heard you, honey. I'm so happy. Are you okay, honey? Yes? Are you okay, honey? Yes? Are you okay, honey? Yes?
So interesting. I mean, I hear something back there. I don't know that I can honestly say I hear exactly those words.
Mm-hmm.
But I do hear what sounds like a small child's voice screaming in the distance.
Yeah, the first one is, okay, so this first one was the one that I was telling you that I hadn't actually verbalized anything.
Yeah.
And the strange thing is sometimes when you do get EVPs or audibles, they'll almost have like a mechanical sound to them. And that's what seems to be happening on this first one when she says it. Now, on the second one, when you hear it, it'll be very much more clear.
Yeah.
Like more like what you would expect to hear out of a human, and I think you'll see the difference. Now, why they have that mechanical sound sometimes and sometimes they don't,
okay,
that's, you know, something we're
now
looking into.
If I could real quick,
yeah,
the interesting thing and like what Bob is saying is he said he didn't verbalize anything. What he means is he never said anything to Jackie about, you can call me your Uncle Bob, or, you know, I'm your Uncle Bob. So she had sort of this precognitive ability, which is why, you know, we thought it was kind of odd. She said, you're not my uncle.
Right.
And he hadn't even said anything about calling.
I was just thinking it, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you worry that the spirits would come and visit you in Tennessee next week at your daughter's wedding, or that they're sitting in the room now because we're talking about it, or are they sort of just relegated to the Queen Mary? In this
I just no, they're I just actually don't want... standing right behind you.
Yeah. What do you think, though? What's your theory?
I have like this odd ability that is kind of uncommon in people in the field, that they do talk audibly to me more than like through EVP. And EVP is when you run a recorder at a location, you ask some questions, you play it back, and then you hear voices that you didn't hear at the time. With me, I can go into almost any location and they'll speak audibly, and if any of you guys are there, you'll hear it.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so it's
we're not going to be visited tonight or this weekend by spirits, right? I mean, it's not
if
one
they
of
visit
those.
Anybody, it'll be me.
It'll be you.
Yeah. Okay. It'll be me.
And you but, have go ahead, Mark.
No, I'm sorry. But are the spirits relegated to the place that you find them? So does Jackie stay on the Queen Mary, or does she go other places?
I think she generally stays on the Queen Mary. Others might dispute that, but I mean, from my experience, generally spirits, stay, I think, where they like, but I don't think they're bound to stay there. It's like, I think they can leave, in fact, I'm pretty certain of it.
Okay.
Because I have had Jackie come and say something to me at home, after we've done an investigation. We tell them, don't follow us home.
Right.
Usually that works, but every once in a while it doesn't, and they'll still come. And say, look, you need to go back.
I've invited them to come to my house, and they haven't come. They don't like my house.
Yeah.
Are spirits here because they choose to be here, or are spirits here because they're stuck, they're trapped, there's some unresolved business?
That's the question, isn't it?
I think it's both, in my opinion, but that is the question that we really don't have the answer to, but that's what we're seeking.
And you're not in the position to kind of help them over some other location, over to the other side. That's not your job.
We can try to encourage them, and if they really are kind of lost or stuck, sometimes they will go. But it's generally, like with Jackie, I don't think anybody can make her go until she's ready.
Until she finds her mom.
Got you. Don?
Do you have a sense that it requires effort on their part to be seen and heard, or that there's a learning curve, or some are better than others at either not being seen or being seen, or what is your impression of that?
There might be a learning curve, but like you've seen on a lot of the TV shows where they talk about batteries being drained and things like that, it's our belief, and I think I speak for Bob too, that what they need is energy, which is why they drain batteries. The human body is basically just water and electrical energy. And physics tells you that you cannot destroy energy, you can only change it. So, it's my belief that they're in a changed position. And I think that's one of the reasons why the Queen Mary is so active, is the fact that it's basically a giant floating battery. They run a constant current through the hull. It's sitting in water. You have a battery.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So they're deriving energy from it. We have one more clip, we said, right? You want to set us up again, Bob, on this clip? And by the way, this is KX93.5 FM. I'm Scott Hayes, The Friendship Show. And we have some paranormal investigators that we're speaking to. You want to set up this last audio clip?
Yes. Come See Uncle Bob.
Come see Uncle Bob clip?
So this is a follow-up to the first one that we just played, the last one we just played here. So now this time I actually do verbalize, okay, Jackie, come see your Uncle Bob. And then I think it's pretty self-explanatory after that.
Let's do it, Megan.
Can you come down closer? Why not, sweetie? Come see Uncle Bob. You can call me your uncle. What's wrong, honey? Don't be mad. Come see Uncle Bob. You can call me your uncle. What's wrong, honey? Don't be mad. Come see Uncle Bob. You can call me your uncle. What's wrong, honey? Don't be mad.
You know, I find it very interesting because it sounds like a child's voice. It definitely, to me, sounds like a child's voice. Now, I want to get some spin here from three people. And,
Can I mention one thing real quick? I'm sorry, but after listening to that, when I boosted, and I did boost the audio on the little girl's voice on these before I gave them to you.
We got the ambient going
on? Yeah, no, what happened is on that one where she says, "You're not," I accidentally clipped it too soon. So part of that last part is missing. Yeah. So you hear, I think you hear "not uncle" or "my uncle" or something. So sorry about that. But
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a short musical break, Megan. We're going to come back. I want to get Don, Mark, and Megan's sort of perspective on this as objective observers, although I think both Mark and Don said they have had similar types of experiences. Megan, have you?
Actually.
Ooh, so it's going to get interesting
in
here.
Experience.
All right, let's take a musical break, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. All right, you're listening to KX 93.5 FM. I'm Scott Hayes. This is The Friendship Show, and we are talking to paranormal investigators Bob Davis and Brian Clune, and we've been listening to audio clips from the Queen Mary. These two guys spent a lot of time on the Queen Mary and recorded the voice of a young girl. How old was the girl, would you say?
Five or six years old.
And it's pretty creepy. It's pretty creepy. But, Don, let me start with you. What's your sort of spin on this? And you've actually had an experience.
I had a couple of them. The one more close. I've been at readings by people who say they're psychics and can bring people through. And I'm pretty skeptical about that stuff. But I had one experience where Someone was coming through, and this was a group setting, and the guy kept giving all these details, and my husband was getting increasingly uncomfortable and whispered to me, "I can't say anything." And later I found out what was happening was he works at a university and works with students, and what was coming through were very specific details about a student death, and he didn't feel he feels he's bound to not speak publicly about that or acknowledge that publicly, but this,
wow.
But it kept going more and more into detail, and really, really, I don't want to talk on the radio about the specifics, but very specific details, and very, very clear to both of us that it would be odd for someone to just come up with that and keep getting more specific when no one was giving him any feedback. The poor guy was, you know, it was a dead room. If it was a comedian, he was bombing. You know, he was just going on and on about this, and my husband is just, you know, kind of shaking. And finally, to stop it, he just said, "I know who it is, but we can't do that here."
Wow.
And the psychic was, you know, respectful of that. So that was definitely one. And that same reading, some really specific stuff that I believe was from my dad came through.
Wow.
But the more ghost huntery or more paranormal activity thing that happened, I was asking my husband to remember the details. We were pretty young, and we were walking in our neighborhood at dusk and walking through this. You walked through this park, and then you walked through this little wooded path. We were going for ice cream from our house, and saw this figure kind of down in a ravine sort of thing near a stream. And what was odd about it is we were talking this whole time. We both saw this figure. We both stopped talking. We didn't engage with each other about it, but we were both completely drawn to looking at this figure. It looked human enough that we weren't running from it, but at the same time, we didn't want to engage it. I was under the impression it was in distress. It seemed to be bent over crying or something, but neither of us, both in helping professions, both usually wanting to engage with people and find out what we could do to help, didn't want to go anywhere near it.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
We walked past it in silence, and then I can't remember which one of us said, "What was that?"
Right.
And then our logic kicked in, and we both said, "You know, that's somebody in distress, and we should get help." And we got to the end of the path and into the shopping center, and there was a police car, and we actually told the police car somebody's hurt back there. And by that time, we had said, you know, we think it was someone who was exercising, and because it appeared to be, you know, like a hooded sweatshirt or something hooded and shrouded kind of. And the police couldn't find anything, but it was, we talked about it afterwards. As we talked about it and we went back, we walked back that same thing, we realized it was much larger than would have been most people, much taller, bigger, and it was a really creepy experience.
You know, Bob, let me ask you, are some people like Don more receptive to that sort of activity than others?
Yeah, absolutely, I think so, and different people are more receptive to different types of activity, you know, so it's like some people are psychic and they can, you know, pick up on your dead loved ones that are maybe around you. Some are more, I'm what they would call, I guess, a clairaudient, so I can hear them. It means clear hearing. So I can actually hear them speaking.
I think that's the first time I've ever heard him admit that.
Ah.
Well, it's true. I guess. Yeah. I don't know what else you'd call it. So anyway, I hear him, and, you know, and for the longest time I thought, oh, maybe I'm crazy. But I start ringing a tape recorder, and the tape recorder's picking
hearing
them up,
it
too.
So.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think definitely, you know, you have so many different facets of the field that you have, you know,
And he is crazy.
Now, Mark Miller, you always have a good story to share, and you said earlier that you had an experience.
I've had a couple, many, many years ago. I did have an interesting experience with a window, a bunch of moths, and a Native American. But I won't tell you about that story. But it was
I'm not sure what that means, but
it was very creepy.
Okay.
A more direct experience that I had was someone I was very close to had died very suddenly, and I was with them when they died, and there were all kinds of kind of like strange things in the transference of the energy that goes on in that moment. There were some very strange things that happened during that. But then probably about 10 or 12 days later, I contacted someone who supposedly could call spirits or communicate with spirits. And we met in the lobby of this condo tower to talk about if we could contact this person and what was going on, because I was feeling sort of uneasy and uncomfortable. And we met in the lobby. We talked for quite a while. She did some other things with me to sort of get you open and ready and receptive and all of those sorts of things. And then she said that, yes, the person has said that they will meet us upstairs in the condo where they lived. She said, now, Mark, I have to tell you, you know, when we get there, if she's really there, the room may be cold. You might be able to see your breath. And I'm thinking, you know, it's like The Exorcist or something. And I'm thinking, that doesn't really happen, right? I mean, she's going to say some things that are going to be comforting to me, and then we're all going to move on with our day. We opened the front door of this condo and walked in, and the room was probably 40 degrees. I mean, it was insane that you could walk in and feel that it was that chilly. And then she said, okay, well, we'll talk here for a while. She's actually in the bedroom. And we can go in the bedroom in a few minutes. And we walked into the bedroom, and just sort of the way things were, you know, like the curtain was open and the window was open. And then anyways, we had a conversation, and she related, this woman who was acting as the medium had related some very specific things that nobody would know except me and this person. And she had some questions, and in that case, it was kind of about, I don't want to move on unless you say it's okay. If you want me to stay, I'll stay. And so we sort of worked through that. And then this woman said, okay, you know, we're kind of finished with our business. And then I swear, it's like, okay, well, she's going to sort of be leaving. And then the curtain sort of moved a little bit and the window slammed shut.
Wow.
Wow.
Very interesting, yeah. It freak you out?
Oh, well, yeah. I think...
Well, I mean, how did you respond to the freak out moment?
I don't know. I mean, I guess that I had someone there who was very comfortable, and
And that's an emotional moment, too.
Right.
So it's
so
not like...
It's just
your first
kind of like
isn't, I'm going to be scared.
Yeah.
No, I got you. Yeah. Megan?
I had two experiences when I was little, so both probably under 10 years of age. And the first one, I was with my mom and we were at my grandparents' house, her parents' house. And we were walking down the hallway and towards the bedroom and saw a woman kind of go quickly out of a bedroom and out to another room in a nightgown. And it was middle of the day. We thought it was my grandma. So we went walking after her and we couldn't find her. And then my grandma came from behind, fully dressed for the day. So we never could explain that one. And then... And then a few years later, one of my great aunts passed away, and at the kind of wake after the funeral, I remember I was in the pool kind of watching everyone, and I saw her walk through the backyard looking at everyone and then disappear, and I went looking for her, and you know, people thought I was just a confused little kid that I didn't really understand that she was dead, but it was bizarre.
I got to believe that people have these sorts of stories all the time, you guys. Don't you think that people have these various experiences that allow them the sort of the ability to believe about these?
I think that's probably the more common thing that we encounter when we talk to people, is that that's a lot of times that's their first encounters is with loved ones who have passed. I mean, it's more rare for them not to somehow show themselves to you. Usually it's within 2 to 6 months after they pass that they will start giving you signs. You don't really need to go to a psychic to contact them, you know. You can, you know, but I'm really leery of psychics because, you know, there's some that are really good.
Right.
And there's a lot that are, you know, charlatans.
Yeah.
And so unless you really know them well and you've had a good experience and it sounds like, you know, the people you've gone through, you had some contact with. But yeah, I mean, it's very common, you know, and we hear that all the time that loved ones come visit. And
I remember
my father just did.
My mother's first birthday after my father died, and we were all with her, and we were giving her presents, and We were just standing around. We were laughing. Nobody was weepy. Nobody was first birthday without your husband kind of thing. And all of a sudden, my mom just shuddered and said, someone just hugged me in the middle of this.
Wow. You know.
So that kind of touch, too. Yeah.
You guys are getting ready to take a trip to Tennessee, and you were telling me that you're proposing to spend the night where?
Old Pittsburgh Hospital in southeastern Tennessee.
Yeah, Chattanooga.
And why this facility, and what's your agenda?
Well, one, it's there.
But it's, I mean, there are hospitals, but this particular hospital?
This one's been closed down, but it's still, looks like, you know, it's got everything still in it. And it's being used as a research center now, so it's almost like a laboratory.
A paranormal research center.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Yeah, so they let you come in. You can stay overnight, you can stay two nights, you can stay a week if you want, and conduct really stringent research in a lockdown, you know, atmosphere. And so you have, you know, some good control over, you know, everything, so you're not getting a lot of ambient noise from other people.
Gotcha.
And yeah, so, and that's why we keep our team small, by the way, is you know, we have two other team members that are actual full-time team members, Ash Blackwell and Laurel Blackwell, and they'll be going with us as well. And so we usually keep our team down to six maximum.
Got you. And have you guys, oh, I'm sorry, Megan.
Oh, I have a question. Oh, just in those experiences or when you're going out in the field, how do you remain unbiased when you're collecting this evidence? Because, I mean, you're researchers, so you're supposed to look at both sides.
Yeah, and we do. And, you know, when we have something happen or we collect something, we always try to tear the evidence apart. We try to find logical explanations for it, like high EMF readings, places that drafts or, you know, things like that could be coming through. So we're very strict with, you know, what we do with our evidence. And it's like I sent you a paper, a diagram of what you know, like the waveform looks like of the audio speech for the EVPs that you played tonight.
Right.
And I know you can't, your listeners can't see it, but you could see how when you see me talking, you see a very strong spiking of the
the
audio, and then where the little girl speaks, the audio line is just completely flat. Well, that to me is very important because human speech is formed above 250 hertz and doesn't fall below that. Now,
so in theory, when the little girl's speaking, we would have seen some sort of spike.
If that was like,
and you didn't.
Yeah,
but yet the audio is still there.
Right, exactly.
Gotcha.
And if that was a human, it would definitely show.
It would
a
have
spike.
Caught. Yeah.
Without audio or touch or any of those sorts of things, is there some sort of energy measurement that you can take to say, oh, there is definitely some paranormal activity going on here, but we're not hearing it or we're not seeing it?
I don't think we ever say that there is definitely paranormal activity anywhere.
Yeah.
We have some places that. I think in our own belief, we know that there is paranormal activity, but we will never say definitively, yeah, that's paranormal.
That's true. It's a ghost.
Gotcha.
You know,
but
yeah.
Do you make that determination or have that feeling based on something other than what you're able to hear or what you're able to see? So I guess what I'm saying, when you talk about it has to do with energy, can you measure the energy in a room and go, oh, the place is jumping?
Well, you can measure the energy, but without anything else to corroborate, you know, you can't just go on one aspect. So, you know, for us, we'll do baseline readings and you know, we'll try and get more than one reason for what's going on.
Yeah.
Without that, we probably throw out 99.9% of everything we get just because it cannot be corroborated by something else.
Yeah. Are there ever photographs, video images that you've captured? What's the one photograph or video image you've captured that's been the most compelling?
I haven't really
nothing
caught anything. I very rarely have seen anything that you know cannot be picked apart.
Gotcha.
I think the most compelling photograph I've seen is one Bob took over in Japan of a possible
ghost ship. It looks like a ghost ship. And when I took the picture, there was no ship out on the ocean at all. And, you know, it was just a very flat, calm day, a little overcast. But and this looks perfectly like the outline of a ship with its sails up and everything. And
yeah.
You can even see the mast itself dividing the two sails.
Wow.
And Japan has a real strong history of the Mongolians coming over and trying to take over Japan, and a typhoon blew in and sank their whole 300 or 600 ships or whatever it was. And so it's kind of curious that that's where we caught it.
It's kind of like the Japanese version of the Flying Dutchman.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Does word get around in the spirit world that, like, you guys are good to talk to and you're going to be nice and kind and respectful?
I think so. I think it
maybe.
Might. Yeah, I think it might.
Well, let's talk. I'm sorry.
A real quick one, because you were just talking about Japan. Are there cultural differences? I mean, are there...
Japanese ghosts scare me.
Yeah?
Yeah, there is completely
different. So different cultures... Spirits will be different.
Yeah, my wife is Japanese, and so she hates what I do. The Japanese think that the ghosts are going to come and they're going to actually physically eat you.
Right.
You know, if you talk to them, they're going to eat you.
Right.
I
mean, right.
I've been telling
I'm asking if the spirits behave differently.
You know, I haven't done enough research over there to really be able to honestly tell you that, and that's something that we want to do in the future.
Now, there are cultural differences. The Japanese themselves believe that the spirits act differently than we believe the spirits act like over here. So.
I'm just wondering if you are a human in a specific culture and adopt those behaviors, whether that would transfer to your...
I would think so, because it seems like, you know, we've captured like audio of in German, French, mm-hmm. you know, another
Italian,
language, mm-hmm. Italian, Yiddish. I mean, yeah.
Okay. So. Hey, let's pass out a website or two. If people are interested in your services, if they want to come and learn more about your activities that you've captured, if they want to just, you know, call you up and have you come and visit their... You know,
their house and check it out.
Sure. I mean, how are we going to get a hold of you?
Yeah, we have a couple of websites. You can go to parainvestigations.com, and that's our regular team website. There's also links on there to our YouTube channel, so you can go there and check out a lot of the different videos that we have up there. And then our Queen Mary investigation site is queenmaryshadows.com. And you can go there as well and check out all our Queen Mary evidence that we've compiled with a lot of different research teams here in Southern California.
That sounds great. You guys both also have some books coming out next year. You want to talk briefly about those?
Yeah, we have California's Historic Haunts being published by Schiffer Publications. That's coming out next October, a year from now. And that features 25 of California's most historic haunted places. Then we also have Haunted RMS Queen Mary, which is being published by the History Press. Comes out the same month, and that is specifically just on the history and haunts of the Queen Mary itself.
Wow, you guys are busy. You got a lot going on. You know what's most interesting, I think, about this last 50 minutes or so, and we've got about 2 minutes, is that, you know, we could have taken sort of this real skeptical perspective of what's going on and sort of it's Halloween time and all that sort of stuff. But I see the seriousness in your eyes. I hear the serious tone of your voices. I see the expressions in describing the experiences you've gone through and the amount of detail you go into to verify that this is actually what's happening. You said, you know, that you throw out about 99% of the evidence that you collect because you just can't corroborate that, right?
Exactly.
So, you know, it makes me want to... I think go out and visit with you guys one night.
I think we're probably the team that throws out more evidence than any other team out there, and a lot of people get mad at us because they're like, why don't you put out more stuff? But I mean, as you've seen our websites, we have plenty of stuff,
a lot of stuff,
but I mean, can you imagine what we'd have if we didn't throw it all out?
Yeah, that's true. And by the way, we're putting it out there for anyone who's listening, if there's any place in Laguna that might be considered haunted, we can contact these two gentlemen, bring them out here, and do an investigation. You guys would be up for that, right?
I would love to take you guys out.
Should they contact
out?
You,
definitely.
Scott, for that? No, I mean, if
they could contact me.
If somebody's listening and has a haunted place, how would they contact you?
ScottHayes.com, HAYS.com.
All right.
ScottHayes.com. Hey, this has been a great show, guys, so really appreciate your time. What happens is it goes so very quickly. I wish we had another hour. I got to get one announcement out here for somebody in this weekend. Let me see here. In support of the Elephant Parade in Dana Point, they got some performances going on down there this weekend. Sunday night, October 27th. Is that this Sunday? I don't even know the date
today.
Is. 6 p.m. The first of three short plays is a selection from Red, a poignant Tony Award-winning play about modern artist Mark Rothko, and a couple of other plays going down there as well. For more information, visit info@vivanttheater.org, which is a new theater, a new community theater, I believe, that's going on down there. Randy Kraft, I think, is somehow involved in that. Mm-hmm. And that's Vivant, V-I-V-A-N-T, theater, R-E.org.
Those elephants are really cool.
Yeah, they're really cool. If you've driven down by there,
There's some great ones inside the Ritz-Carlton.
Yeah.
That are really cool.
All right. You've been listening to The Friendship Show. This is KX93.5 FM. Thanks, everyone. Megan, you want to take us away with a little music?
Yes, our last piece is The Headless Horseman by Thurl Ravenscroft.
Very nice choice. Blah, 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 blah.
Now gather round while I elucidate on what happens outside when it gets late. Along about midnight, the ghosts and banshees get together for their nightly jamborees. There's ghosts with horns and saucer eyes, and some with fangs about this size. Some short and fat, some tall and thin, and some don't even bother to wear their skin. I'm telling you, brother, it's a frightful sight.
You've been listening to The Friendship Show on KX93.5 FM. Join us every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for great conversation, great music, and the chance to make great new friends. The Friendship Show on KX93.5, Laguna's only FM.